It's Mail It In Friday.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Appropriate tune. Final hour for the week.
With Corey
Thank
Hart.
God.
This is a good track.
This guy used to run amok.
He used to post numbers.
Something Hart
and him
Rick...
walking into the club with his glasses on back in the day, and this tune comes on.
Him and Rick Springfield. You remember Rick Springfield?
That is called Pantalon Droppers.
Rick Springfield and Corey Hart.
Those guys used to...
Kind of a D-bag move for Corey Hart to actually be wearing sunglasses.
At night?
At night.
She cuts my security and she got control of me. I turn to her and say...
I saw this guy live in concert.
Really?
Oh, yeah, in Edmonton.
Could you name a second song for him?
If you can name what he just said there, go back to like the punchline.
Don't mess around with a guy in shades.
Is that what it says?
I have no idea.
Shades, oh no.
That's kind of what it sounds like, yeah.
Is that what it says? Don't mess around with a guy in shades, oh no.
Can you name a second Corey Hart song?
Yes, but I'm struggling to do it.
So no, you can't.
It'll come to me. You're asking me to dip deeper into my past.
I know, but this guy is the definition of a one-hit wonder.
Never surrender.
No. Yeah, never surrender. He went deep.
Never surrender.
Never. Yeah, that one was good too.
I don't remember that. Really? I'd probably know it to hear it, but
yeah, you would.
Is this on your iTunes? Do you have this track on your iTunes?
I've got 10,000 songs, so yeah, I'm pretty sure he's deep in there.
10,000 songs. How many gigs?
Turn it
do you
up
have
a bit. I want to hear what this guy says before the go-to line. Listen. Don't switch the blade or something.
I have no idea what he says. Look that lyric up and send it to
me. Don't switch the blade.
It's dark. It gets really, really heavy. Like, just stick to the good tunes and the good vibes, yeah. Corey Hart. All right, Matt Bonner will join us here in a moment. Raps Spurs tonight. Raps favored by about 5.5. I can't remember the last time they would have been favored at home against San Antonio by that kind of a number. They only play them once a year, and the Spurs have been way better than the Raptors for the past 20 years. But the Raps, they don't lose at home. Kawhi Leonard's not playing for the Spurs. So I kind of feel good about the Raptors tonight. And we'll see what Matt Bonner has to say about it. Night like tonight, his two former teams, now he was in San Antonio a lot longer than he was in Toronto, but he broke into the league as a Raptor. So I'm sure he has a special place in his heart for the Raptors, for the city of Toronto. So we'll catch up with Matt Bonner in a few minutes. Bob McKenzie back on the show. We had Bobby Mack on yesterday, and he's back today at 6:25.
Doubling down.
I don't mind that.
Well, we'll get his take on Freddie Anderson's comments last night and the target on Freddie's back. I mean, that's kind of the theme that has come out of this afternoon. You guys have pointed that out a lot. He better be on his game tomorrow night.
But the target's not going to be – that's the one thing I want to clarify. It's not on his back from the fan base or anybody. It could potentially be just from the guys in the room that are like, dude, like, you know, you want to tune us up, do it behind closed doors. Like the old saying is you keep the dirty laundry in house type of thing.
Mm.
And you know, what goes on in the room stays in the room, you know, that type of old school mentality. And then anytime somebody comes out of there and kind of cross it, I don't want to say crosses that line, but gives a little bit more than maybe what the guys want to let on, that's when you got to deal with a little bit. And it's, he didn't single anybody out, but he alluded to some things going on. Like, I think the most damning thing is you got guys on the bench thinking or knowing they could be on the power play that are
that
pissed.
Was the big comment to me.
That was stuck out for me.
Because that's revealing that he's had conversations
on
with
the
one
plane
of his close
or on the bus,
saying,
like,
I can't believe I don't get more power play time.
How am I not on the first
but here,
power
now
play?
People are going to tie it because you see that leaf versus leaf thing, they've revealed that Freddie and Austin Matthews are really close, and they game together and all of that. So now you're going to start to nail down, well, Austin's not on that first power play.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the connecting of the dots will be happening. Like,
and all it is hearsay, right?
That's but I think it's also a kind of a shot at Babcock by also saying, you're the one that puts these guys on the ice.
Right.
So maybe some guys on the bench should have been out there and they wouldn't have given up a 2-on-1.
Right.
And it just puts that much more of a target on Mike Babcock's back, and he's had a big one on his back the past month or so, which has kind of been uncharted territory for him since he's been here. But I also think what this is a testament to how quiet it's been.
Yeah, there's nothing going on.
Nothing has been let out of the bag. Nothing in 2 years. Well, so if this is as bad as it gets,
Didn't he say it when he got here? We're going to create a safe environment for these guys.
Right.
It is.
And I'm sure what he has been telling them is don't open your mouth.
Like this.
Don't say anything publicly that can allow minds to race outside of the room in terms of what you're cryptically trying to point out.
He's right. What was that for?
We're not doing that ever again. No. I don't know what these two things are doing in here.
We're supposed to have them here optically.
But he said if you want, you ring the horn once in a while.
Yeah, so but you were in the middle of a thought.
Yeah, it was a pretty good take I had there, too. Actually, maybe we could play them if you have a really good take. You have a really, really good take, you get one of the horns.
Well, I'm going to do this. Watch. Hold on. Don't switch the blade on the guy in shades. Oh, no.
Don't masquerade with the guy in shades. Oh, no. I
don't
can't believe it.
Don't switch the blade or don't masquerade.
Don't switch the blade. I'm not going to do it.
I've got the whole lines here, courtesy of Drew. He texted these in.
Yeah.
Shout out to Budweiser, too, who hooked us up with these two lights. And we'll play them, I don't know, for the next month and a half. This is courtesy of Drew. The Corey Hart line is, don't switch the blade on the guy in shades. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Don't masquerade with the guy in shades. Oh, no. I can't believe it. Because you got it made with the guy in shades. Oh, no. That.
Don't know what the hell any of that means.
Is the line.
Oh, no.
But he was a good-looking guy in the 80s, and he could sing, and it's a two-hit wonder.
It's a great
I wonder
tune.
If he still tours. I would go see that.
You know what? You wouldn't. He'd show up at, like, a casino. Like
he's not getting the ACC.
He's not getting the ACC, but Corey Hart is playing.
No,
Falls View.
He's playing the Yellowhead Casino in Edmonton, Alberta.
He's playing the Port Perry Casino out back with the picnic
I'm
table.
I'm going to Google it right now.
I agree, because I think Corey Hart has a following, and there are people, especially some veterans, that would be there. Like, punching Corey Hart touring.
What do you think the cougar to male ratio would be?
See is women in their 50s with tight blue jeans on, no back pockets, and leather boots with tassels on them.
Yeah, for sure.
Or white running shoes with the tongues hanging out, not done up.
For the guys. And halter tops if it's warm outside.
Just an absolute goon show.
I'm telling you, I think Corey Hart still tours. There's a chance.
We'll see. We'll look into it. We're trying to catch up with Matt Bonner. I don't know if he's going to join us or not. He might.
We might have heard that horn and flushed.
Good point by Justin here.
What?
Just needs a no guy at the end, and it's perfect. Don't switch the blade on the guy in shades. Oh, no guy. Don't masquerade with the guy in shades. Oh, no guy.
See, we should get Taddy to voice it.
That would be outstanding. He was in here yesterday, and he wasn't overly cordial with us.
Really?
He hates us.
I kind of sense that it's gone from, this is funny, oh, that's pretty cool.
So you stole in my bit.
To actually, like, legitimately not liking us. Because usually right after the show, he comes into the studio, and we have a stop and chat with him and Greg Gilbert. Standard
joking
procedure.
Around,
what's happening? How's life? What are you expecting out of the game tonight? Didn't happen yesterday.
Like, he was all business?
All business.
I think
no guy for the stop and chat with the tap man.
He hates your guts. That's why. Because
he might.
We've stolen his bit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wee gi, no gi.
That's how we dance around it. Wee gi, non gi.
You have adjusted.
I think he'll still sue us.
You think so? I don't know.
Anyway, Matt Bonner, we'll see what happens. Bob McKenzie will join us in about 10 minutes. At what point do you think this is even a possibility? Between now and the beginning of the NHL playoffs,
yeah,
in Vegas, the home team will have the best odds to win the Stanley Cup. Because they beat Tampa 4-1. Again last night.
4-1.
Like, Vegas is technically the number one team in the league based on
points. I don't
think
it's even they have to add at the deadline if they can. Like, add something.
Do you think, though, it's possible to get to a point where they are, 4-1 to win the Stanley Cup?
No.
Because I can't picture them winning a round still. Like, I still can't believe this is happening. I can't picture them winning around.
I'm still thinking the wheels are going to fall off somewhere, but we're talking about the end of January.
That's what I'm saying.
They're getting in no matter what. Like, they're
first overall in the league. They just rolled into Tampa and beat them 4-1.
I know. But do you see, they're having one of those years, and Hayes, you've said this before. You think they'll miss the playoffs next year?
No, absolutely.
They are having one of those years where they're just...
You said prior they are easily going to be the worst team in the league.
We all did.
Not even a question.
Like, that was even a hot take. That was an ice-cold take.
No, but there were some opinions coming in. Even Jamie and myself were like, you know what? They're getting pretty good players. They may not be that bad. And you were like... No way. Remember, they're going to be the worst team in the league.
I would have
absolutely
to go back on our group
31st
text. 31st
in the league.
I'll have to go back on our group text because I remember early in the season, I was watching a later game, and we had a group text going on, and I said, this Vegas team is pretty good. And you guys didn't shoot it down, but we had a conversation about
it. I think the actual approach was they're better than you
better
might
than expect.
Think.
Yeah, I think that's what I said.
They're not going to finish with 33 points.
Right.
Like, they'll probably only end up with 65, but they're not going to end up with 35. They're not going to be like a historically awful team. And you said they're not going to be as bad as Colorado was a year ago, as Buffalo was a few years ago. That was the expectation, is that they would be better than that. But still, you know, I thought they'd be dead last. They're an expansion team. Well, I don't care about what the rules were and who they took and... These guys are having career years, like William Carlson.
Yeah.
William Carlson is on pace for 40 goals. I understand that, but Columbus, sure, they didn't want to lose him, but I don't think they were expecting a 40-goal scorer to walk out the room.
No.
They were like, all right, whatever. Happens. We gotta lose somebody.
Exactly.
Take this guy. All right, Raptors Spurs tonight. We've got Matt Bonner on the line. You have bothered him for a favor in the past. Is that true?
Yeah, Tim Duncan autographed jersey.
All right, here's a former Raptor, former Spur. He's calling the game tonight for the Spurs, color analyst Matt Bonner. What's happening, Matt?
I am doing great. You are somewhat accurate. I'm actually studio analyst, pregame, postgame show.
Oh, okay, right. Studio analyst. So are you up here in Toronto or what?
No, I'm here. Actually here at our Fox Sports Southwest studios in Dallas, Texas. So I'm in Dallas.
Okay.
Pull your head out of your ass.
Well, maybe
he
I
work
could
for the Raptors.
Maybe I could have been given that information. Maybe someone could have given me that
it's
information.
Okay.
Anyway.
You know what? I'm getting off the phone. I'm offended.
Yeah, sorry about that, Matt. That's our bad. Well, we would have loved to have you up here because how often do you get back up to Toronto? I know you're up here a lot, but I mean during the season, do you ever get back up to Toronto or what?
Yeah, sometimes we obviously my wife is not obviously, but my wife is from Toronto, so all of her family is there, and I still have a lot of friends as well from my playing days. So we try to get back a couple times during the season, and then actually quite a bit in the summertime. I am a huge fan of the city of Toronto, as I'm sure everybody who's ever been there is. So I try to get back whenever I can.
What's the vibe from other cities like where you are, Matt, about the Raptors? Obviously, the fans here are really excited. What are the out? I mean, you talk to former players, current players. What are they saying about the Raps this year?
I think people are aware of the Raps. I think there's still a little bit of that kind of Canadian bias. This is just my opinion. I don't think they get enough attention or credit that they deserve, given how consistently successful they've been over the last few years, and especially this year, I guess just because the team's in Canada, I'm not sure. But, on the flip side of that, I'm sure that's just fine for the players. Mm-hmm. And, I know with Coach Pop, the Spurs basically fly under the radar every year, and that's perfectly fine because the media doesn't really have any bearing on wins and losses, as you know as well, being a former professional athlete. But for me personally, I'm pretty excited for the Raptors team just because I think this could be the breakout year, the year they come out of the Eastern Conference. The Cavs have been inconsistent. Obviously, the Celtics are a really good team, but the Raptors have just been balling and could be the year.
With Matt Bonner here on Overdrive, Raps Spurs tonight down at the ACC. Out west, you know, there's a debate about who's going to represent the East. For the past 7 years, it's been LeBron's team, whether it's Miami or Cleveland. But it seems as if it's more open for debate. Hasn't been the same case in the West for the past 3 years, and I feel like it's even more obvious this year that Golden State is just going to run through the West. I mean, do you get that sense? Do people in San Antonio have that feeling or concern that it's almost impossible to beat Golden State?
I think the whole basketball world realizes they're a juggernaut. They're the favorites. I mean, they broke the league record for wins in a season and then added Kevin Durant, you know, one of the three best players in the league the very next year. So they're obviously a nasty team. Yeah, it's a long season. You got to stay healthy. You got to have some breaks go your way. However, I would pose this. If you think back to last season, the Spurs went to the Western Conference Finals, played game one at Golden State, and had them down 24 points in the third quarter before Kawhi Leonard sprained his ankle. And then obviously the rest is history after that. Now, if Kawhi doesn't sprain his ankle, Spurs win game one, take home court. Now it's a dogfight. Anything can happen. And I think the Spurs got better this offseason, not necessarily by adding any huge name free agents. Yeah, they got Rudy Gay, who's injured now, but has been a great addition when he's healthy. But I think Pau Gasol, second year in the system, much more comfortable. I think LaMarcus Aldridge has found himself. Maybe the Kawhi injury helped because he's had to put the team on his shoulders on the offensive end, but he looks like a completely different player. And I think to have the third best record in the West with all these injuries that have been happening one after another is only going to add to the team's depth once they do get healthy, because all these bench guys are getting real game time experience. So hopefully once the Spurs get fully healthy, and hopefully it's enough time before playoffs where they can figure out a consistent rhythm, groove, rotation, whatever, then maybe they'll be able to make another run to the Western Conference Finals and see if there's a different result this year against Golden State.
With former Raptor, former Spur, current Spurs analyst ahead of the game tonight, Raps taking on the Spurs at the ACC. We're chatting with Matt Bonner. There's been a lot of emotion, a lot of fights, a lot of physicality throughout the NBA over the past week or so. Have you ever been involved in a brawl on the court?
I was ejected my rookie year for getting in a fight with Kevin Garnett and Latrell Sprewell. It wasn't really so much of a fight as I
did he try to choke you out?
I put a Jeff O'Neill hockey foul on Kevin Garnett, and he took exception to it. And he came after me, and then Sprewell comes after me, and then, you know, the bench is cleared and whatever, it got broken up. And then because I'm the lowly rookie and those two are all-stars, somehow I got ejected for it, which I appealed and later got rescinded. But I remember the whole time thinking, like, all right, I can't be the first one to swing. So I remember just standing there, like ready, like just like, all right, punch me. As soon as you punch me, I'm going to take your head off. That was like my whole mentality. And they never did. And quite frankly, I'm surprised with all these physical altercations because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. The NBA doesn't mess around with that stuff. You get suspended for a game or fined $50,000. I don't know. Maybe guys are making so much money now that it's just pocket change to them. But for me, like, I mean, I'm not trying to. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of sandwiches. I'm not trying to give away my money like that.
Yeah, that's a lot of tokens, too.
A lot of shopping,
TTC.
Matt. A lot of shopping, pal.
Listen, I don't know why you chose that door. Latrell Sprewell is not a guy I would have been messing with, considering his history and his reputation. Were you surprised he didn't throw
or choke you?
A little bit, but, you know, we're all flesh and blood. I was of the same size as him, so, you know, he doesn't have a black belt. I was ready to go.
Okay.
Nice.
I like it, man. Don't mess with Matt Bonner.
I agree.
That's what we need to know. Well, enjoy the game tonight. We always appreciate you doing this for us. And whenever you're up here in Toronto, we got to get you in studio because we love having you up, and I'm sure it'll be right around the corner. We look forward to it.
Absolutely, and thanks for having me on, guys. Stay warm.
You got it. There's Matt Bonner, former Raptor, former Spur, NBA champ, current Spurs TV analyst ahead of the game tonight. Spurs wraps at the ACC.
I've got some inside information. A text just came in from a buddy of mine. Corey Hart is retired. Last show was a retirement show in Montreal in 2014 in front of 14,000 people at the Bell Center. He lives in the Bahamas with his wife and four children, just in case you wanted to know.
14 grand, is that a sellout?
Yeah, because you push closing the stage. After. Yeah, you have to close it off, and the stage, the floor. And so that's, I think, a pretty good chunk there.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's from Montreal, too.
Impressive, though.
Mm-hmm.
He did it right on the way out.
No, good for him. And he's living in the Bahamas, is that what you said?
Yeah. I think he could do a Vegas tour. I think he could end up like Celine Dion in Vegas.
Corey Hart? He's got one song, dude.
No, he's got a couple.
Never Surrender.
That was
play me some Never Surrender.
Yeah, we'll have to dig that one.
That is not going to cut it.
The saxophone.
That's not going to cut it. Get this man in the NHL All-Star Game. Take a lap, Kid Rock. We need Corey Hart. No they controversy
have,
there.
They should have legends roll through. Maybe Alana Miles could do.
All Canadian legends.
Just some legends.
Ann Murray shows up.
Ann We're going to take a break and come back in with some Alana Miles.
And Bob McKenzie.
Yes.
The Hockey Insider. Overdrive
Black
continues.
Black Velvet, here we come.
TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Like a lot. This song doesn't get your pants moving.
But don't you have like
something wrong with you?
Wasn't there? Didn't you sing along and she just shut you right down?
I tried to sing this to her and she just said, "Stop it, you're awful."
She was disgusting.
Did you do a good job?
Mostly torture.
Okay.
Alana.
There's the answer right there.
Alana Miles said it was torture.
Mostly torture.
No religion. Because she can sing it on tune, and she watches people clank it off at karaoke, and it just probably rattles her. I saw her live in Lethbridge, the Sportsplex.
Lethbridge. If you're playing Lethbridge, with all due respect,
it's a pretty good venue.
Your career is not
6,000 people. Like
when I was a teenager, my dream was to walk into a bar and Alana Miles was there. That black curly hair, man.
All right, brought to you by Finance It. Here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Bob McKenzie. The Bud Light
it's gone
for
off
Bobby
the rails,
Mack.
Bob.
What's happening, Bob?
Hey, how you doing? I feel like I'm walking into like O's Lounge tonight. It's a little creepy. No. He's getting all sultry for the weekend. And
yeah.
You can just tell that song has an impact on him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, does it get me fired up?
That's not good.
No, it's not. It's really
fired
not.
Up. Oh, it's not good. Oh.
No,
yeah,
it's really not for 6:30 in the afternoon on a Friday. It's really not necessary. Anyway, I'm sure you've been asked for your take throughout the afternoon from people on the street, people on Twitter, radio, TV, the whole nine. Freddie Anderson last night came out, was not happy with his team, was not happy with the first power play unit. The lack of commitment, the lack of effort. What's your take on the whole commentary from Freddie Anderson?
I saw his comment right after the game, and I certainly, and for anybody that didn't see it or hasn't been listening to the show, I'm sure you guys have talked about it and that, but was basically saying, hey, you know, take care of your own business. When you sucked, nobody was throwing you under the bus, so don't throw us under the bus. And I can certainly see that. You know, in this one, you know, Noodles and O would know much better than I would. I always defer to players on these type of things. you know, I saw Mitch Marner's interview after the game, and he was kind of throwing himself under the bus, basically saying, yeah, you know, two games in a row now, I've cost a goal. And the game winner, obviously, in the St. Louis game, the Nolan Patrick goal last night. And, you know, he basically said, I got to be better, and Freddie's done a great job. So teams have their own dynamic, and they'll know how well or poorly received it is. Babcock was, of course, saying today what any coach would say in that situation. Oh, that's good. That's internal accountability. It's one thing to hear it from me. It's better to hear it from the guys in the room. And by all accounts, there was maybe even more than Freddie publicly saying that stuff, that, you know, that they had some honest and candid back and forth after the game about the way they played and the way they let it go.
Well, I kind of read the comments as also a bit of a jab at the head coach. And he's taken a lot of jabs, just none of it from his own players that we're aware of anyway.
Yeah, you could interpret it that way because, you know, he's saying there's guys. Although it could be that the second power play, even though it could be the first power play, depending on who goes in first. But in any case, the guys that were sitting on the bench, including, I guess, Austin Matthews, you know, if you're going to give up a shorthanded goal, then, you know, put me the hell out there. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's a direct shot at Babcock, maybe it is, maybe it's not. But I was on Leafs Lunch today, and I did say this, that, you know, the number one challenge for Babcock, quite aside from winning hockey games and winning a Stanley Cup with the Toronto Maple Leafs, is just managing the players on an ongoing basis, because he's got a very strong philosophy on how the game should be played, and that basically involves players subverting their individuals for the team. That, you know, instead of playing Matthews for 20 minutes, he plays 17. Instead of getting out every power play, you know, first or whatever, sometimes he gets out second. But all up and down the lineup that happens. You know, Marner plays less minutes on this team than he would on some other teams, and so that's going to be a constant push-pull thing between Babcock and his players, because they're going to want more, and he's going to say, no, this is the way to be successful. And they're like, I just want to play, man. Give me out there. So it'll be, I think, a constant battle, and how much you win makes it a lot easier than how much you lose. But we'll see where it goes from here.
Bob, we were talking last hour about when Mike Babcock joined the organization, he talked about the Leafs creating a safe environment. And Hayes brought up a good point that Freddie Anderson's comments kind of step outside that window, almost like what the Leafs have been preaching to kind of keep everything in-house. Austin Matthews kind of let things a little bit out of the bag with the concussion talk. Do you think that's something the organization, I mean, they can certainly encourage guys to be individuals, but given market recognition, that's O's word, is something I don't think behind the scenes they would really want for their group at this juncture?
They probably don't love it, but I mean, you can't, as much as you try, even Lou, you can't control everything. And for the most part, it's a pretty button-down group, and there's not a lot of drama. You know, losing games when you're, especially when you're supposed to win them. I mean, when Babcock first got here, they lost a lot, but they played well. And there was a lot of moral victories in Babcock's first year. They'd outshoot the other team, they'd outplay them, they'd get beat, and they lost a lot, but that was cool. Going to get a draft pick, going to get Austin Matthews, it's all good. And then last year, they won a lot more than they lost, and everything was sort of, that was sort of the honeymoon year. Oh, you know, we're really good again. The Leafs, you know, we've got a chance to make the playoffs. We're going to be so good. We're going to win so many cups, and everybody's got visions of sugar plums dancing in their head. And now this year, the entire focus has changed. This year, they expect, as Babcock says, they expect to win. And now they're not winning, and I saw the numbers that James Myrtle from The Athletic put out from December 1st, and he ranked them in all the various categories, and they're bottom third of the league in just about everything, and bottom sixth of the league in a lot of key numbers. And so now suddenly things aren't so much fun, and it's a little harder to keep everybody between the lines. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't think what Freddie said or Austin Matthews, you know, saying I had a concussion, I don't necessarily see that as, you know, signs of rebellion or cracks or just things getting out of control. Maybe by previous standards of not getting anything but name, rank, and serial number from anybody with the Leafs, it would feel that way. But I think it's just a function of things are a little owly right now because they haven't won very many games lately.
Well, and yet they're still 12 points into a playoff spot.
Absolutely.
And that's what makes it so unique is this situation where Babcock's never going to say this publicly, and he may not even think it privately, that he doesn't like having this kind of a buffer. But I'm sure he's a little bit uncomfortable with the idea that none of the other teams in the league, or at least the other teams in the division, can spark any concern.
No, like that's a complete illusion. And that doesn't say anything about the Leafs, and it says everything about Montreal,
they are.
Ottawa, Buffalo, Detroit, and Florida. It says nothing about the Leafs in any way, shape, or form, and that's entirely. So in this case, I would, if Mike Babcock is preaching to his guys, hey guys, you know, we really suck lately, and the only reason that we don't suck really bad is because there's so many teams in our division that suck 10 times worse than us.
Right.
And there's no threat. But right now, you know, Boston and Tampa are opening up a gap on the Leafs, and the Leafs are, you know, since December 1st, those numbers don't lie. And the reality is that on the whole season, if you just look at their point percentage, they are the very definition of the middle-of-the-road hockey team. And since December 1st, they're not even that. They're not. They're just not even a middle-of-the-road team in the National Hockey League in the last month and a half.
I saw a power rankings thing the other day about not the ones we do or something on Instagram, where my Toronto one, like the ones we do, and we're going to be doing it again soon, they were always in my top five. They weren't even in this one's top 16.
No, right now, based on the way this team is playing right now, I don't know how anybody could put, if you were doing power rankings today for the Toronto Maple Leafs, I don't know how you could put them in the top 20 in the National Hockey League. I don't think you could.
Yeah, you're
based
right.
Based on, you know, they got off to a great start, and they've been good at times since then, and the results have not been good at all.
I think I had them ranked one. I think I had them ranked first, like early on. They were my first team, and now, like you said, they're not in the top 20.
Yeah.
Well, so, top 20 seems like a bit of a stretch. I mean, let's be honest here. They've blown leads in the third period. They're not getting blown out. You know, like I hear what you're saying about the numbers.
The power rankings, it's all about the now. It's like, what are they now? And if you go about the trend, it's like they are not in there, Brian.
Yeah, it's like, you know, power rankings are supposed to be absolutely, and it's like looking through a little pinhole, saying, where are they right now? Well, right now, they're losing a lot more games than they're winning. And it almost doesn't matter how you lose them. It just matters. It's a results-oriented business. And so on balance, their record is fine. I mean, they're, you know, the full season record is okay. But it literally, I mean, I did it the other night. I didn't crunch the number today. But for our Leafs game the other night, before the game started, I wanted to see where they were in the league in percentage of possible points. And they were tied for 13th with the St. Louis Blues. And then they lost to the Blues. And then they lost to the Flyers. So I'm not sure what number they are, but I'm guessing it's not 13 anymore. And so just based on the number of games they've played and the number of points they've achieved, I'm going to, without looking at it, I'm going to say they're no better than 15th in the league. 15th overall in the National Hockey League based on their current record. That's, you know, so, and that's the whole season. That includes the first month of the season when they were hell on wheels to beat. And so, you know, if they're just barely top 15 now on the basis of their total points for the whole season they've played so far, then what would they be if you were just taking into account the last week or two or three or four? And the answer is barely top 20, if that.
Bob, you mentioned the Bruins. Do you think Bergeron could sniff around on the Hart this year if they keep doing what they're doing? He's always gets recognition for defensive play, but he has been unreal this year.
Yeah, he has.
Right now, we got a lot of recency bias, as I taught you the other night.
Thank you. I use that term quite often.
Exactly. And, you know, He's had a four-goal game recently. He's had a three-goal game. He's the best defensive forward in the National Hockey League to begin with. He's always been an A-plus player. The Bruins are on fuego. And you know, he's one of the best all-around players in the National Hockey League and has been for some time. And it's not for nothing that he's on Canadian Olympic teams and wins Selke trophies and that. But, you know, the offensive production of late is obviously even beyond what most people would ever expect for Patrice Bergeron. But if he were to maintain the kind of numbers that he's putting up, and let's be honest, that line with him and Marchand and Pasternak is one of the better lines in the National Hockey League, then absolutely. Right now, if you were picking midseason awards, and I haven't done all the numbers, but, I mean, take your pick of somebody from Tampa, MacKinnon in Colorado, and Bergeron are amongst the guys that you would have to look long and hard at for the Hart Trophy if they were given it today.
We're going to let you go, Bobby. Do you have a favorite Corey Hart song?
Oh, I don't know. Corey Hart. You get Atlanta Miles, I get Corey Hart.
Not a bad trade.
There you go. You know, what's his most famous one? Sunglasses at Night?
Yeah.
Let's hear a little bit of that.
It's that or Never Surrender, pretty
much. There's only one song,
No, there's
really.
A couple songs
It's
in there.
A one-hit wonder.
No,
He's
it
not.
Isn't.
I'm getting texts
no,
saying
it isn't.
This guy is Mike Sennin. I grew up in Montreal before he became really famous. He performed a concert at our high school gym. Pretty popular in the 80s. Not
came
just
came out of
Canada.
Retirement last year, too, and performed in Newfoundland.
I know. This guy's a legend.
How about that, Bob? Did you ever think you'd get that much detail on Corey Hart?
No,
afternoon.
I'll go even further back. If you want some good CanCon, you know, fire up a little Crowbar. Oh, what a feeling. That's good stuff.
Crowbar.
What a name.
What a great name. Handle.
It is a great handle.
Yep.
That was
Sells
a Hamilton
itself.
Band, if I remember. Kelly Jay the lead singer of Crowbar? I don't know. I have to look that up. But anyways, I had, the album was called Bad Manners, and it had a cutout of a Crowbar. It was gold on the front with the black inside, and then you flip the... So, anyways, it was good stuff. Get it going there. Oh,
right.
What a feeling.
Fire it up, Moss. Maybe for the next Bobcast, have that as the intro.
That's right.
All right, Bob. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, boys. Have a great weekend.
There's Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider, brought to you by Financing.
He was right. They're from Hamilton. Crowbar. Canadian band.
Some great Canadian bands, like with really great names.
Lover Boy. That was Mike Green.
Platinum Blonde,
Standing in the Dark. What a great tune. I used to love Platinum Blonde. I'm older than you guys, so I grew up a lot of Canadian legends. There's a Canadian legend that he follows me on Twitter, and it fires me up. It's a guy named Mo Berg. He used to be the lead singer of
The Godfather?
No. He used to be the lead singer of The Pursuit of Happyness. They were a great band, and he used to play in a band before that called Face Crime.
What was it called?
Face Crime. They played in Edmonton. They were awesome.
We got one more intro before the final segment. What do we want to play?
Pursuit of Happyness, Mo Berg.
You want to play some Mo Berg?
You would Crowbar. Know the song. No, yeah.
Let's play some Mo Berg.
Mo Berg.
You got it, Mo?
Pursuit
Mo
of Happiness.
Berg?
No, I'll
play
come
it on
up
the
with
way
a song.
In. All right, you go talk to Mullen.
Give us
it out.
A little bit of Atlanta or Corey Hart on the way out.
Yeah, we want the best of both worlds here.
I'm telling you. There you go.
Give us some more volume.
Yeah, come on, man.
Take us out with this.
Listening to here.
I'm an adult now by The Pursuit of Happiness.
One of the great 80s bands.
Mo Berg. I think he lives in Toronto. I want to say he lives in Toronto.
Play this song.
I got my own reasons to drink now. I think I'll call my dad up and invite him.
I feel like Andy Frost.
This is awesome.
You know this gets played on Sundays.
Oh, for sure.
I want to get to the punchline here.
Gotta get up and take on that world. When you're an idol, it's no cliche, it's the truth. I'm an adult now.
Burr.
About that.
I'm a fan of Mo Burr.
When I was 12 years old, I used to take the bus from St. Albert, Alberta to downtown Edmonton. I saw him on the bus one time. I was too scared to go up and say hello.
Mo Burr. And now he follows you on Twitter?
Yeah, I don't know how.
What's his deal? I got to find him on Twitter.
I don't know how. I once sent him a note, or I tweeted at him, like I was listening to them in the car or something, and he wrote me a note back. It's kind of cool.
Beauty. I'm looking at some of the great Canadian bands of the 80s.
Triumph.
Honeymoon Suite.
Yes.
They were great.
Chilliwack.
Chilliwack. That's my girl, the song. Gum, so long.
Glass Tiger, everyone knows them. Max Webster.
Monday, we're doing an 80s show.
Red Rider.
Oh,
Payolas.
Yeah. The Payolas, they were awesome.
Doug and the Slugs.
Dougie and the Slugs.
He passed away of a heart attack recently, the lead singer, but that song, Too Bad That You Had to Get
Cut. Martha and the Muffins.
Yes, Martha and the Muffins.
Headpins.
The Headpins were a little.
There's some great bands.
They were awesome.
Rough Trade.
Yep.
Strange Advance. The Northern Pikes.
Northern Pikes. They are,
big
I think
supporters.
They're from Saskatchewan. They were great.
Have to be. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NFL board, I'm taking the points with the Jags.
Are you?
Taking the points, and I'm laying the points, Minnesota at Philly. Throw down 20, you can score 40. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Maybe we do that every Friday. It's just Throwback Friday. Throwback Thursday. But
Flashback
everyone has Throwback Thursday.
Friday.
Flashback Fridays where we play 80s
but
Canadian
music. We got to come in with a band, like out of nowhere. Like I say, I'll come in with like a Doug and the Slugs. I'm an adult now. I want Mo Berg's early work from Face Crime.
Well, Rob That's tweeting and saying that Mo Berg used to sit behind the bench at Leaf games in the 90s.
I'm telling you, like I think he's a big hockey fan. I think he's a Blackhawks fan, though. For some reason, I think he's a Chicago fan. But Triumph's Rick Emmett, unbelievable guitarist. The bassist had a mustache and long hair, always wore a Leaf jersey.
Outstanding.
There's some great Canadian bands. We got to give them lots of love.
All right. Lots of love for the Canadian bands.
Big fan of Mo Berg. Still is. Well, may have to have him on the show.
Why don't we call up Mo Berg?
Nervous. I can't reach out.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. So maybe that's a new trend every Friday. Yeah.
Flashback Friday starting next week. We're out of here for today. We'll be back Monday at 4.
We'll chat then.